Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good morning, it's 10 o'clock. Donal Kavanagh at the news desk. The mayor of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District says it's time for an honest and open discussion about what can and can't be done to improve traffic management. Councillor Kieran Brogan is proposing a special roads workshop to discuss the whole issue of traffic calming, with a focus on what measures would be appropriate for each individual area. That workshop would involve all council departments and the Donegal Road Design Office, working with local Gardaí and residents' associations to tackle a number of issues, from speeding to the use of scooters on footpaths. Councillor Brogan says the most important thing is that council members and officials are seen to be singing off the same hymn sheet.
It's a team effort. We need to be coming up with solutions, but there's so many issues in so many different areas around the traffic calming. At different times we've had motions passed about putting in traffic calming measures, but I think we need to look at, as a matter of urgency, to send a message out that we are taking this serious, and if there is areas that needs more policing, then we need to be on message in that, and I think we need to be all singing off the same page. So I think by us all getting into the one room in a workshop forum, we can have a good discussion where we see the real pressure points.
The Chief Operations Officer with the Irish Cancer Society says there is scope for more research to be conducted at Letterkenny University Hospital. Edel Shovlin, a native of Donegal, was speaking at a function during which a cheque for almost €223,000 was handed over by Relay for Life Donegal, the proceeds of this year's event. She told the meeting the Society spends a considerable amount in the county on services such as night nursing and transport to and from appointments. She said that when it comes to Letterkenny University Hospital, it's acknowledged that improvements are necessary, but she said it's good that the hospital is growing as a cancer treatment centre.
We will continue to fund research here in Ireland, and we hope that Letterkenny will continue to provide some of that research here locally in the county. Such an important piece of our infrastructure here in Donegal is at Letterkenny University Hospital, and the fact that it's now a cancer treatment centre, which it wasn't whenever I was growing up. We will continue to do what we can to make sure that access to treatment in a timely manner is happening all over the country, including in Donegal.
Donegal County Council is again being urged to carry out urgent repair works on Maharaboy Bridge at Liscooley, Castle Fim. Local councillor Gary Doherty says following recent heavy rain, water levels have swollen again, and he fears for the integrity of the bridge. He says there's also a very real risk of flooding in the area. Councillor Doherty told a meeting this week that he's been raising the issue for a number of years, and action is more necessary now than ever before.
It's not a case of if something happens at this bridge, it's a matter of when. And that point needs to be stressed to the OPW so that they can see the seriousness of the situation and allocate some funding to Donegal County Council to carry out remedial measures, first of all, on the bridge, and secondly, just to carry out refurbishment works on the bridge to ensure that the bridge is safe for use for pedestrians and motorists, but that it also protects the properties that are located nearby.
The HSE says people can help save lives by raising awareness about suicide and encouraging a culture of compassion. It's highlighting the free online suicide prevention training programme to mark World Suicide Prevention Day. The HSE's John Meehan is head of the National Office for Suicide Prevention. He says training helps people spot the signs of suicide and gives them the confidence to provide support.
I would encourage anybody to participate and log on to Let's Talk About Suicide. And that, we have found through research, gives people the encouragement and the confidence to know where to appropriately signpost individuals in their time of distress.
And there's a link to that online programme on our website, highlandradio.com. The European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has proposed the EU suspends its trade agreement with Israel. It's in protest over the catastrophic conditions caused by the ongoing war in Gaza. A suspension of the deal has been demanded by some member states. So far, it's been resisted by the European Commission. And the annual general meeting of the West Ulster Rail Initiative is being held this evening. There are growing calls for the restoration of rail services across the northwest region. With more, here's Katie Gillen.
The West Ulster Rail Initiative, which was established in 1995, is calling for the re-establishment of rail connectivity in Donegal and is holding its AGM this evening at 7:30 in the Station House Hotel in Letterkenny. David Crooks, chairman of Donegal West Ulster Rail Initiative, says that sustainable transportation systems ensure regional economic development, and he stresses the need for the re-establishment of rail into Donegal for students, patients, tourists, businesses and local communities. The WURI says the current plight experienced by drivers and traffic congested cities and towns means that rail connectivity is needed in Donegal and throughout the northwest. They say they look forward to meeting all those interested in getting rail back into Donegal, climate change and road traffic congestion.
Looking at the weather forecast, mostly cloudy at first with outbreaks of rain and drizzle, brightening up from the west as the morning goes on and into the afternoon. Sunny spells and shower will follow. Some of the showers quite heavy, particularly in the west, with isolated thunderstorms and hail possible in highs of 14 to 17 degrees Celsius. It'll become quite windy, particularly in northwest coastal areas. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news again at 11 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good morning.
The obituary notices this Wednesday morning, September 10th. The death has occurred of Kieran Lafferty, Liscooley Castle Finn, reposing at the family home today and tomorrow from 11am until 11pm. Funeral from the family home on Friday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church Crossroads, Killygordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of John Sean Doherty, Chairman, Clonmany. John's remains are reposing at the family home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11am with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Family time only, please, from 10pm until 11am and on the morning of the funeral. John's funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Karen Dunne Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member or McFeely Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Edward Ned Boyd, Brinalac Guidor. His remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derrybeg, today from 2pm until Rosary at 8 o'clock. Removal afterward to his son's Mark's residence in Brinalac to be waked tomorrow from 11am until Rosary at 8pm. House private after Rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass will take place on Friday in St Colum Kills Church, Knockfalla, at a time to be confirmed. Burials afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Jimmy Diver, White House Glen Tohar. Remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there on Friday morning at 10:20 to the Sacred Heart Church Cairn Dunna for 11am Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on the Cairn Dunna Parish webcam. Family time, please, from 10pm until 10am and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Irish Kidney Foundation, care of any family member or Blaine McCarran, Kelly's funeral directors. The death has occurred of Mary Porter, 14 Warren View Manor, Muff, and formerly of South Circular Road, Dublin, and 269 Skeg Cottages, Bridgend. Mary's remains are reposing at her brother Bobby's home, 269 Skeg Cottages, Bridgend. Removal tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St Angus's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Warren View Manor Tenants Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Sean Murphy Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Patsy Foley, 2 Bells Court, Claddy, reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:15 for Requiem Mass in St Columba's Church, Donnyloop, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Castlefin. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the Donnyloop Chapel YouTube channel. The death has occurred of Jim Green, Cairnmore, Dunloe. Jim is being waked at his home today from 11am with rosary at 8pm. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11am in St Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in Mahery Graveyard. The death has occurred of Owen Byrne, Port New Road, Ardra. Remains are reposing at his residence today and tomorrow from 12 noon until 10pm. Funeral from there at 11:40am on Friday morning, going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for funeral mass at 12 noon. Burials afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House strictly private on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has occurred of Mark Fields, late of Drumbo Lower and the Grove, Stranorler, County Donegal, reposing at McGowan's Funeral Home, Drumbo Avenue, Stranorler, today and tomorrow from 6pm until 8pm. A celebration of Mark's life will take place at McGowan's Funeral Home, Drumbo Avenue, at 11am tomorrow morning, followed by cremation at Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to Donegal Hospice, care of Martin McGowan Funeral Director, or or any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Equal access, equal voices, equal futures. It's not just a line. It's a plan and a promise. A promise to open doors, to include every voice, to build a future that works for everyone so nobody's left behind, spoken for, or held back in any shape or form. The National Human Rights Strategy for Disabled People is turning that promise into action. Equal access, equal voices, equal futures. Visit gov.ie/disability strategy for more.
You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Thanks so much for being with us today. A big hello to Annie, Audrey, Charlie, Gilbert, Kathy watching our stream. Don't forget you can watch the show every day here from start to finish on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland, which is handy if you're on the smart TV or the Fire Stick. We're across our Facebook pages and on the X platform as well. Hey, we're over 5,000. Thank you so very much. We're just in the final stages of our fundraiser for Cancer Care West, Letterkenny, and we're over 5. Thank you so very much for all of your generosity. As I say, if there's anything left out there that we can get together and donate from the 9 till noon stroke Highland Radio family to Cancer Care West Letterkenny, please check out idonate.ie/fundraiser/Greg Hughes 1. Give us a ring here at the radio station 0749125000 or check out our socials. Now on to your comments. Referring to the dumping of mattresses, why don't they bring in that when you purchase a new mattress, the store takes away the old one and you're charged in the cost of the new mattress, something like they do with large electrical and even small appliances? Just an idea. Yes, so it's like a recycling charge that's levied on new mattresses and what have you. I'm not sure how that, I mean, it could work, certainly. I think lots of people buy mattresses in different ways now, picking them up or off social media, but yeah, for sure. Well done to Caitlin and Matthew. Thank God they were around. They're two of the three young people who got a call to action and went out to the lake there at Creasla and saved a dad and their son. Astonishing bravery and a wonderful happy ending for everyone involved. Greg, bless Caitlin, Matthew and anyone else involved in that rescue. They are absolutely amazing. Two lucky young lads to be alive. And, you know, that's off the back of that other rescue we talked about not so long ago. Another group of young people rushed to the aid of people caught in a riptide as well. So a lot went on. I often go up the Loch Salt Road early morning and I actually saw at different times people emptying vessels across the road from the lay-by. I believe that there should be no overnight parking at that spot, and I've always said that the council should look after this viewing area, put toilets there, put a gate on it that would be opened early morning and locked at night. But the problem even with big high-level areas is that who's going to open it, who's going to close it. We've had problems, and we're going to be going there shortly, funny enough, with on Green in Avalia, where we couldn't get access at certain times. So I don't think we could sort it out in one viewing spot that's quite far removed from any population at all. Hi, Greg, could you highlight? I just pulled into Lidl at Milford off the main road. My car skidded badly. There must be something on the road. Very dangerous. Yeah, be careful there. There's something else dangerous in Milford. There's a junction there by the schools at Milford that there is at least one collision every single week, and it's only a matter of time before someone gets very seriously injured. And also the amount of people that are having to go through car repairs and insurance companies and what have you. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the area. It's a crossroads there just before you go up the Bray into the top of Milford, so to speak, and the one-way road loops back from Milford and crosses there as well. There are stop signs, but they're not working. People are going through those stop signs on a regular basis, and also too, the road markings are invisible. I don't know why it's such an accident black spot or a collision black spot, but it seems to be, and nothing seems to be done about it either. As I say, you would hear from the guards that there's collisions there on a regular basis, so I don't know. And I was chatting to a gentleman called into the studio yesterday, actually, by the way, and he said is the lack of, and I'm trying to paraphrase it here, is the lack of enforcement of speeding in certain roads educating young drivers the wrong way early on in the career. And he used the example of the stretch of road from the Polestar roundabout to the Clanry roundabout, where it is a 60 kilometre per hour section, and people routinely drive at 80. And his idea is that because it's not being enforced, young drivers or any driver whatsoever is sort of learning that, you know, it's okay to speed because there's no enforcement and no one, very few people seem to drive at 60. You get hooted at, flashed, undertaken if you sit at 60 on that road. So he says there should be a crackdown, some level of enforcement, because it's kind of a green light to speeding. So I said I'd mention it, and there you have it. If you agree or disagree, 086 60 25,000. But there might be an oil spill at the entrance to the Lidl at Milford, so be careful if you're in that area. Good morning, Greg. The person who put a comment in about the rail and other infrastructure is incorrect. The rail was not closed for losses in revenue. It was because of using bus and road had been promoted by the state instead of rail and by the petrol companies and other interests that would have lobbied the state to use bus and road transport instead. Rail at the time was seen as a good way to travel around the island of Ireland. It was less expensive than road at the time. And I think also there was a big push at that time, if I'm correct, that, you know, rail is going to be defunct, that articulated lorries are the future and a much more efficient way of getting things around, which wouldn't have helped with connections to the like of Burton Port and Killybegs, or even Letterkenny for that matter, if people were saying, no one's going to be using rail in the future, everything's going to be in articulated lorries, etc. So was that a factor at the time as well? Greg, we entered a contract with Energia and now they've put up the price of electricity. Does this mean we cannot change to another provider until our contract ends? Unfortunately, if you check the T's and C's, I suspect that you cannot change at this point, unfortunately. Letterkenny traffic. I joined a queue of traffic halfway up Lurgy Brack at 9:09 a.m. Arrived at Ballyrain roundabout at Keys Garage at 9:19. 10 minutes in total. Not bad, they say. Back to the presidential election. Any potential candidate serious about the president, she should be at the very least able to travel to Donegal and meet the council in person. I agree 100%. I really do. If we're that important, get in your car and have a look. 5 years ago, the public adored Conor McGregor. People stayed up late at night to watch him all over the world. He was liked by the public. Now he's disliked, and it's for a very good reason. I've no time for him myself, but 5 years ago, he might have had a chance to be elected. Yeah, but then the video emerged of his confrontation with the older gentleman at the pub. He's been found in a civil court to be responsible for a very, very serious assault. And he's made quite a few other questionable decisions as well. But because he's very anti-immigration, some people overlook other elements of his character because that's the principal thing that they are, that's the principal thing that they're focused on. Okay, welcome back to the programme. I'm joined on it now by Dr. Andrea Redmond of Cumann na Forbartha Dúthairí. Good morning to you, Andrea. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. Now, you're weighing into the opposition to any closure of the Donegal ISPCA. Why so?
Oh, Greg, absolutely, 100%. I have been involved personally and my family in rescuing animals, God goodness, over the last 20 years. I have known Denise and the staff at the Donegal ISPCA, well, for about 3 years now or more. On a personal capacity, she supported, she rescued my teddy here and helped me adopt him. And also, as part of dairy development, we had to deal recently with a colony of feral cats in the village. And it was a serious issue. We were inundated with young kittens, disease, with several kittens that were going blind and that. And with the help of Denise and her wonderful staff and also Animal in Need Donegal, we were able to trap, neuter with their support most of the colony. I think we missed maybe one cat in particular. But without her support, without their support, you know, we couldn't have tackle this. I mean, Donegal is in the midst of a crisis with abandoned and injured animals, and there's a huge rise in animal cruelty. And, you know, I don't think it should be the behest of volunteers and animal charities to have to deal with these issues. You know, we need the support of government. They need to be adequately funded. We need Donegal ISPCA, and I demand that our local representatives take action to ensure that it continues.
Yeah, and just for those new to this story, the ISPCA and the DSPCA, that's the Dublin Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, they're merging to form a single national animal welfare organisation called the National SPSA. It's going to be operational from next month. And for some reason or other, it's led to the closure of the Donegal Centre, or will lead to the closure of the Donegal Centre at Ballyar. There's already limited capacity. Whatever we had was already overstretched. It's impossible to see how this couldn't end up being inhumane, as you've described it.
Oh, we're in the midst of an animal crisis.
Hello,
I think basically they've waffled. Can I just put a fine point to it, that they're looking at financial constraints, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, you know, the people of Donegal fundraised for that centre before the ISPCA stood, or it was gifted to them, on the understanding that it would be kept in Donegal and opened to rescue and look after abandoned and injured animals. That's my understanding of the situation. So therefore, it was the good graces and the lovely people of Donegal funded that institution, that the ISPCA took over with the understanding that it would be kept open. Now, Donegal is such a large county, and at the minute there are a couple of volunteer charities that are trying to deal with things like kittens, and they're just overwhelmed with the situation, and it's just a blight, you know, if they decide that once again. And this, an important part of the infrastructure of Donegal is going to be closed because some faceless people in Dublin, you know, just to put a fine point on it, we can't lose something that the people of Donegal created and worked hard to establish. We have wonderful staff that are going to lose their jobs there, and we can't sit back and allow that to happen.
No, and we also have to figure out what's going to happen to this very valuable asset as well. Not just, of course, I know you're coming at this from the animal protection side of things, but also this is this building and its grounds presumably are incredibly valuable.
Well, they're incredibly valuable, but they belong to the people of Donegal. The Donegal people,
like, do we
created
know that?
That
is that what you believe to be the case, or is that on paper legally the case?
On my understanding from the individuals that set up the rescue. Now, that it could be looked at, and that's something that needs to be looked at. I don't think they should be looking at that as a revenue stream. I think that needs to be kept. It does not need to be sold. It needs to be kept open, and they look at an alternative cut somewhere else.
Okay. Listen, thanks for your insight. We are seeking to get more information and some critical commentary in relation to this. I know there's calls on various departments in the government to intervene in relation to this. We need some answers, I think, Andrew. I'm very frustrated because I don't have the information. I was away, and I don't have the information that I like on stories like this in my head, but I'm certainly researching it further, and we'll try and get to the bottom of it.
Can I just ask, any electorate reps come out in support of the Donegal ISPCA? Because we have been called, our committee has called on them, our TD senators and our local Donegal County councillors, we've asked them to come out and support this Denise and her co-workers and the work that they do. Mm. Has anybody come forward?
I can't answer that. I cannot answer that off the top of my head. I mean, there was a council meeting yesterday. I'm not sure if it was brought up again. Something I'll have to look into. But I'm hearing animal lovers and those involved in the care of animals very vocal on this.
Very angry. There's palpable anger in the community because, I mean, people are stretched to breaking point. You know, and what happens is, I'll give you an example. We have two kittens that we trapped that we couldn't release and couldn't be neutered that were going. Pardon me, Craig?
No, that's okay. I'm speaking to the producers here, but unfortunately you're getting in as well. So please ignore that and carry on with your point.
No, my point is, you know, the impact that, you know, there's a cyclical impact to nature. I mean, if we have a lot of feral cats, they're going to impact wild bird populations and things like that. And also illness. As I said, in the trapping of the colony of nearly 20 wild cats, you know, they were diseased. I mean, some of the young kittens were going blind. And we actually have two in the care that my God, my poor long-suffering husband. has we've been nursing them, trying to nurse them back to health. So, you know, it's inconceivable that they would think to close this really, really important centre in Donegal.
Okay, listen, thanks very much for your time. I do appreciate it. Very passionate, of course, as you would be. Look after yourself. Thanks very much indeed. That was Dr. Andrea Redman there, Cumann na Forbacha Dúchairí, the committee of it, and the village of Dúchairí as a whole and surrounding areas strongly objecting to the proposed closure of the Donegal ISPCA. Lots of questions, of course, and we are seeking answers from, I suppose, the new body, the amalgamation of the DSPCA and the ISPCA. I just want to speak to someone and ask them, why is this being closed? What's the plan? Where else is being closed? I mean, there's a million questions that I have, and I will endeavour to find them all out over the course of today and the next number of days. Okay, it is Love Donegal Day, and our team are out and about taking in the sights, the smells, the sounds of some of the jewels in our crown. And notoriously, the signal at on Greenan of Alia in Buncrana is not fantastic, but we'll see how we get on. Corinne Temple and is with us. Good morning, Corinne. Hello.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. There's going to be I can hear you. There's going to be a slight delay on the line. So I might throw it over to you and Anya. Tell us about where you're at and what it's all about.
So today is Love Donegal Day, and it's the sixth year of this. Basically, it's an initiative to celebrate Donegal and everything that we love about it. So today we're encouraging people to use the hashtag Love Donegal or Donegalaboo, share pictures, share videos, share stories of everything you love about Donegal. As I said, it's the sixth year. Last year it had a reach of over 99.5 million, so we'd really love to surpass that today. So as you said, we're at Greenan of Alia here this morning, so we're 800 feet above sea level, so maybe that's why there's a bit of a delay. Over back to you, Greg. We're a little bit washed out as well.
Yeah, Anya, you might, I don't know, it's very windy as well. I'm not sure if you can turn your backs to the wind, because even with the double mic sock, we're really getting the blow. But even on a day like today, it's not perfect weather. There's still a few people up there taking in those wonderful sights, Corinne.
Yeah, there's still people about. We kind of thought when we arrived that we might be the only ones up here, but no, there's loads of people walking about and walking around the fort here. It's not really about the weather. When you're out of it, it's actually not that bad.
It is, exactly. It always looks worse looking out the window than it does. Have you done any research? Have you got anything to tell us about Grania Greenan of Alia? I don't want to put you on the spot, but have you been doing any research, or you're just up to take at the sites?
Yeah, so this site did that to the 1700 BC. It was rebuilt then by the Christian Viking eras. On a really good day here, you can see six different windows. So you can see Donegal, Tyrone, and Mayo. So there's quite a lovely scenery when you get to the top there. We didn't broadcast from there. That might have been a bit of a health and safety risk. But on a good day, you can right across the county here.
Yeah, for sure. And as you mentioned, this is all part of Love Donegal Day, and it's a campaign we can all get and be a part of, because it costs us absolutely nothing. You just go on your social medias, all of you out there. I know you've got fantastic pictures on your phones, or videos for that matter, and whether it's TikTok or whether it's Instagram, Facebook, whatever platform you choose to use, share your pictures, share your messages, and use the hashtag Love Donegal. As you heard from Corinne there, 99 million people worldwide have seen this hashtag. It's fantastic advertising, and every little bit helps in drawing visitors to our beautiful region, and also to, you know, it's immeasurable, but every little bit counts. The wind is playing havoc, Corinne, so can you divulge where you are off to next? Hopefully not as windy.
We're about to go to the Mahari Caves in our draft.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I might do is call when you get back to the car. Yeah, when you get back to the car, I might just hook back in again when they're back in the car and out of the wind, because it really is a hugely important initiative, and I'd love to hear more because. It's all about celebrating Donegal. And this year's Love Donegal Day coincides with Donegal hosting the TBEX. That's the Travel Blog Exchange Europe 2025. It's one of the world's leading gatherings of travel creators, bloggers and influencers, and they all call themselves different things. And these are people that are incredibly influential. These are people that are incredibly influential. And they're going to tell the story of Donegal to their millions and millions of followers right across the county or the country or the world for that matter, actually. And we're going to be live from that conference on Friday as well, by the way. So looking forward to getting a sense of what these visitors think of our beautiful county. Now, E. O'Donnell is Chief Executive of the Irish Fish Producers Organisation. Are you there, E? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having us on.
Right, okay. So another important event taking place. It's Achillebeg Summit. Talk to me about the idea behind this, because there are going to be some important conversations and important messages coming from it.
Yeah, it's an important opportunity, Greg. We have attendance by delegates from 17 producer organisations in Europe, representing 10 member states, and it's an AGM of the European Association of Producer Organisations. So it's a chance to debate, it's a chance to discuss, and to try and move to a consensus position on a number of issues facing the industry.
Red tape, you know, the over-application of regulation seems to be a big problem at the moment. I'm sure that's going to be part of the conversation.
Absolutely. You and I have discussed before what has happened to us in relation to the weighing and sampling rules that we have on the pier of Killybegs. There is a move within Europe to basically enhance competitiveness, reduce the burden of administration, reduce the administration and red tape. But unfortunately, we have fears that the new control reg, its implementation act, which we haven't seen yet, it's in draft, may add to this level of red tape. So this is something that will be a key focus for us as we meet this week.
But already the regulations that are currently in effect seem to be enforced far more rigorously in this country than our European neighbours. Would we not need to get to the bottom of that before we start worrying about what other regulation is coming down the line?
Yes, we have a system of regulation that's in large, many ways, very unworkable. The issue of the weighing on the piers is a disincentive to the landing of fish by Irish vessels. It's a disincentive to the landing of fish by foreign fleets to Killybegs, for example. It's starting to impact on jobs in the sector. It's a major cause for concern. We have engagement with the Sea Fisheries Protection Authority about this. We are pushing very hard for a harmonised system to do with control and enforcement. We need robust control, but we need to have it fit for purpose.
There's a lot of money, a lot of jobs involved in this. For an example, in 2024, 39,000 tonnes of Ireland's fish quotas were landed abroad. Even if we sort of reviewed the regulations and it was less problematic to land in Irish ports, can that be returned to Irish ports? Would it still be attractive enough, or have we given other ports too much of a head start to claw that back now?
It still can be clawed back. We have the markets. We can compete. We are competitive. But we just simply need a level playing field. There will always be some level of landings abroad, depending on where the fish are caught and so on. But Killybegs as a port, it's just next to our richest waters on the west coast of Ireland. We can source, we can compete, we can pay the price, but we need a level playing field in relation to control and enforcement. We need to minimise the red tape, we need to minimise the administrative burden, and we need to get on with processing fish for export markets.
And everyone in the Irish fish producers organisations have got the eye on fish, have they, in landing of fish? Or are there any eyes on wind farms or electricity generation at sea? Do you all have the same, are you all on the same page that the future, the real future for Killybegs is fish?
We have concerns. We have a ranking of concerns, and certainly what you call the spatial squeeze in relation to wind generation is a concern. It's a key concern for our members on the East Coast, where a lot of these first phase of projects are going to be located on the middle of fishing grounds. But that's a separate issue in the short term.
But did the KFO not have an interest in offshore energy development?
It's very much a future project.
Is that not a little bit of a conflict of interest? I mean, if part of your organisation's also has an interest in offshore energy development, yet you believe that the future of Killybegs is about, you know, landing fish and fish production. There's no tension there in that relationship.
Well, certainly we're not here to represent the KFO, but we do work very closely with them. There's a lot of sea out there. Their project, it's very much down the line. It's based on floating wind farms, which may not have the same impacts in relation to the spatial squeeze that the fixed bottom ones do. The key issue in the short term is what we faced is reduced quotas, reduced landings, making Killybegs attractive, attracting more fish to the port from both Irish vessels and overseas fleets.
Just in relation to regulations and the current regulations and any new regulations that may be coming down the line, how much of it is about the regulations and how much, and they are kind of external, if I could put it like that,
yeah.
And how much of is it about the enforcement of regulations, which is internal? Where are the biggest squeeze points or the problems there?
Well, let's face it, the regulations are the same throughout Europe. But we don't have a level playing field in relation to the interpretation and the implementation of the regs. Ireland has a very unique industry in so much as that most of our fish are land-based processed onshore. Our competitors in Denmark, for example, would have primarily an industrial fishing business. It has different priorities, different prerogatives. For Ireland, we have a food industry, we have shore-based processing, we have lots of employment based depending on it, and we need to support it, and we need to make Killybegs an attractive port as it should be.
Now, in terms of the event, the summit, is it invite only? Is it at capacity? Do you invite still people from within the industry or with an interest in it, Eo? What's the story there?
Well, essentially, it's for the delegates. It's basically a meeting, an AGM as such. But we do have a social element to it, and we have also invited to dinner tomorrow night. Some Senator Manus Boyle, for example, is attending, Caroline Bokel from the BIM, and also Deputy McLaughlin from Sinn Féin. Mm-hmm. The minister, unfortunately, cannot attend, but we are meeting with him again next week as a Seafood Industry Alliance to discuss the issues that we're discussing this week.
Yeah, and we're getting the issues out there as well. The conversation is happening, which is vital, very important as well. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the rest
of your
summer.
Thank you, Greg, for your time also.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Eo Donnell there, who's chief executive of the Irish Fish Producers Organisation. That summit running from the 10th to the 12th. Right, Eo. Hello, Greg. I often transport injured wildlife to Doolettar Wildlife Rehabilitation in the north from Donegal. The Donegal ISPCA will usually be where the person that found the injured wildlife phones first, and the ISPCA then hold and care for the wildlife before I can collect them and transport them. A vital link in keeping the injured animals safe will be lost now. Still want to get to the bottom of is this an employment contractual situation? Is it going to close? Are people going to be moved into a sort of a different contract cycle? And that's the problem as well. I know unions are involved in this as well. We're just waiting for an official response from, is it the ISPCA? Is it the DSPCA? Is it this new national SPSA? A caller says, our elected representatives are the ones who wouldn't outlaw electric shock collars for dogs. Why would anyone expect them to be interested in animal welfare? Another, as far as I understand, the ISPCA staff were made redundant in June, so this isn't something that's going to change. On the issue of dumping large items, furniture suppliers take away single bed base and headboard, €15. Don't give up on our trains, Greg. I believe for 25 years and I'll never stop. Don't give in to big car. They've buggered us all. Sure, traffic and bypassing traffic has killed more towns. I would love the trains. I have a fascination with trains. I'm so, like, this whole idea of, you know, within a stone's throw of home, that there was a train station and there are people living in our local area that, you know, used that can remember that clearly and would hop on the train and off the train. And these aren't people who are ancient, you know. This is our recent history. It's terrible. I would love to have been able to travel through Barnesmore on a train. Can you imagine what that would have looked like? I'm so jealous. It's terrible what happened. And I would love to see trains, just a little bit cynical that we'll ever see, because in the political sphere, it's not high on the agenda. All right, we've Corinne and Anya back into the safe, secure surroundings of a car. Corinne, what was it like up there? Blowy?
Just a wee bit windy and a wee bit rainy. But apart from that, it was lovely.
I think it was Corinne or you said too, it's not the weather, it's the clothes. And you're so well buckled up.
I mean, I left the house at Street Hare this morning, so that's...
So did I, funny enough. That's how windy it is. It blew mine off. Right, so it's a beautiful thing. Corinne, you were saying too, for those who've never been up there, you were talking about the great sight, the great views you have from that wonderful site. I mean, obviously, maybe today's just not the best day, but on a clear day, you can see, you know, there's a beautiful 360-degree panoramic view.
Yeah, even today, Greg, I don't know if I can turn this camera. Like, the view that we're looking out at now, just from the car park, absolutely, and this is a cloudy day, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's still really, really nice up here, so it's definitely worth the trip. And just below us there on that flat ground is actually Inch Wildfowl Reserve. I usually go down there with the kids. It's like an 8-kilometre route, and it's perfect for cycling on, especially when the kids are a bit smaller and you don't want them out in the road. But that's a lovely track around there. So if you come here for the day and then head down to Inch, and then sure, like Buncrana's just over the road there. So there's lots to do. You've Swan Park over there as well. So it'll be a great wee day out.
Yeah, Anya, and it is part of Love Donegal Day, hashtag Love Donegal. It's massive, isn't it? The reach for this is huge, and the council and everyone behind it ambitious to get the message even further and wider around the globe.
Yeah, as Corinne was mentioning earlier, the reach last year was huge. So it'd be great to go above that again. So if anyone does have any photos, if you have been to Greenan and Valia yourselves, tag us in your photos and make sure you use the hashtag Dinanaldu and hashtag Love Donegal as well. And hopefully we can up the reach this year and just promote the county.
Seems to be a bit of a hot spot for proposals. You didn't see anyone down on their knees up there, no?
No. It's probably not really the nicest day for a proposal, but...
Why not? It's about the location, the romance, not the weather. I think you were mentioning...
I'm kind of seeing the sun. Yeah, the sun's actually coming out. The sun is coming out. Excitement there.
It always comes out. Our draw next then, did you say? What? Are we keeping this a secret or we're just chatting about it? What's the crack?
No, it's no secret. So we're going to Mahara Beach and Caves. It's just kind of outside our draw there. So we're hoping if the sun does come out and the weather kind of picks up, that we'll actually get down to the caves. So that'll be nice. So if anyone's around that area and want to call down and say hello, and again, if you have any photos from being there, send them in, tag us, tag Donegal County Council. It's thanks to them. It's a council initiative, and obviously we're out and about today in association with Donegal County Council. So it's great for us even to, you know, get around.
As I was saying to Corinne, I've actually never been up here before.
Wow.
In my 25 years of living. So yeah. I'm getting to see different places that I haven't been to before.
But even our draw, even to where yous are going, yous are passing amazing things. That's the level of beauty we have. And there's a third stop then, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Third stop is Glenveagh National Castle. So we're hitting there this afternoon. So again, if anyone's around, want to call down, have a chat with us. We'll be there probably around 3:30, all going well.
Yeah. Tough old job, isn't it?
A lot of travelling in one day.
Oh, no, I was being sarcastic. It's fantastic. Like, you know, good company, good crack, great views. All right, well, we look forward to hearing you broadcasting live from our draw. And if you see either Corinne or Anya, just say hello to them. They'd be more than happy to have a chat with you. And as well to, obviously, to the other jewel in our crown, one of the many, many, many. But get on your phones now. Get them out. You've got pictures. Tag us. Tag hashtag Love Donegal. Well, don't tag it. Just type in hashtag Love Donegal and get that message out there and do your bit. Right, listen, thanks for reconnecting and safe travels, and we look forward to seeing you and chatting to you later. Thanks so much.
Also, Greg, yes? if anyone just wants to follow us along on the journey, we'll be updating stories and everything on the Highland socials along the way as well.
So. Excellent. So check
and we've
out.
Actually, we've met a few people in the car park here that were listening on the way up. So they were having a chat with us while we were waiting on you to call through again. So.
There you go. Right. So check out Highland Hub Facebook page and the Instagram page as well. Listen, thanks so very much. As I say, safe onward travels. That's our digital team there of Corinne and Anya. Right, that's taking us close to 11 o'clock, isn't it? It is. We're very close to 11 o'clock. I have issues with my computer. It's just not working as well as I might want. And I think that started on Sunday. The same thing that happened on Sunday. I'm not sure if you're listening, seems to be happening today. A caller says, there is a shop in Letterkenny that if you ask them to take away your old mattress, they take it for €25. Then you buy a new one. You are allowed to move electrical companies. Energia will fine you if you move. She'd be better off paying the €50. It depends. Yes, sorry, that's two different comments. I do understand exactly what you're saying about the fine for moving. It could be more than 50, though. You have to be careful, but certainly, definitely worth inquiring. That's not bad advice at all. Right, we are heading towards the news at 11. Stay right where you are. Oh, by the way, before I go, we're going to be talking about sleep. Any questions about sleep, your sleep patterns, problems with sleep, tips for sleeping? That's all coming up after 11.